G'day, one and all, and welcome to Oceanic Gaming Radio, your one-stop shop for just about everything gaming-related. My name is El Capitano, the big head honcho, El Grimo. I don't even know what that is. I'm Capo, and this is me good mate, Grizzly Gaming 86. How are you, brother?
I am excellent, Cap. I'm going really well. I just spent the weekend down in Albany, mate. It was pretty nice down there. Bit of a trip, down south. Flying visit.
So for those international listeners, Albany is a coastal town south of Perth, Western Australia. Mm-hmm.
Australia,
Which is where Chris is
from. 4 hours on a big, long, straight road with nothing to see. But when you get there, mate, yeah, really good. So probably highlights of the weekend, Cap. I went golfing with my dad, which was bloody excellent.
Oh, nice. How'd you go? Did you play all right?
Well, this is the thing, man. I went and I don't know if I told you this. I've just realized I've got my voice repeating in my ears through the Twitch channel. I got a new set of clubs, man. I acquired a brand new set of these Greg Norman mid-range set that I like. Sweet. And it's got everything from the hybrid 3, hybrid 4, all the way to drivers, putter, everything. And dude, I hit two on a. I played the back nine at this pretty average golf course in Albany. Like it's there's two in Albany. One of them is like premium quality, and the second one's got like kangaroos on the greens. It's like one of those like country club kind of golf courses. Yeah, but I hit two pars and one of the par fives and the par four. So feeling pretty good, mate. Yeah, we have to get out for a dip, mate. But really enjoyed it.
Oh, dude, man, I fucking love playing golf. So not that I'm any good at it, but absolutely would love to have a game with you.
Hell yeah!
So what was the occasion for Albany, mate?
Just a long weekend. Like, well, so my parents, for those of you that know, my parents live down there essentially. So we try to kind of get down there every now and then, visit the oldies, and have a good time. And me and my wife actually got married in Albany, mate, so it's a bit of a special place for us as well. So, yeah, we went and had dinner at one of our favorite restaurants down there as well, and handballed the kids off to mum and dad, and yeah, it was great. Oh, mate,
that would have been so good. Did the kids love it?
Yeah, love it. They love it down there, dude. And the dog loves it. Like, he's on my parents' property. He's got like bush and stuff surrounding it. So dogs running free, and the kids are out in the bush in the treehouse.
Beautiful. And
just good time, mate.
Albany's such a ripper spot. I love that whole southern area. If you're listening in and you're looking for places to go in Western Australia when you're able to sort of get over here, the southern coast is just immaculate scenery.
Talking about getting over here, Cap, didn't our borders officially open last week? Can't people get in?
I think people can come in now, I believe. You just need to be vaccinated and show the appropriate kind of visas, yada, yada, yada. I don't know. I don't know border security shit, but look, I think you can basically get in now, essentially. So come and check out our neck of the woods.
Come say good day. And what about you, mate? What about you? What's been on the cards with you? Been busy?
Well, I actually had a wedding this weekend. My cousin got married, so we went to a place called Northam, which is, for those listening, is about an hour and 10 northeast of Perth. And they got married at a place called, it was some estate. I can't quite remember the name of it, but it was beautiful. And we stayed in the Northam Township. Dude, there is so many pubs in Northam. You can't fucking walk 10 meters without tripping over a pub. Yeah, literally.
Is that right? I don't know if I've ever been to Northam. It's kind of like inland, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like on the way out to Kalgoorlie kind of thing, which is another kind of regional, gold mining town. But yeah, it's actually awesome. We stayed at this place called the Farmer's Home Hotel, and it's just been renovated, and it was freaking gorgeous. Had this like shared balcony out of our room that you could sort of zip around to, and dude, it was just awesome. Me and Dad were out in the balcony sipping seltzers before the wedding started, and then we zipped in, and my cousin had like a combi van with all these beer taps coming off the combi van. And so there was like five different beers plus espresso martinis coming off the combi van. Dude, it was sick.
How are you feeling? You on the hangover today, Capo?
Well, I'm all right today because it was the day before yesterday. So yesterday I felt like shit, but today I felt all right. Actually, I haven't really done too much today. I've just been playing The Elden Ring. And
I've had I've only had a chance to play about 2 hours in the last week. So very disappointing, mate. I'm just dying to jump back into it.
Don't you worry. I was spewing when I had to go to this wedding because it's just cutting into my very precious Elden Ring time. But I think we'll talk more about that later on. First up, I think, Grizz, we didn't get to it last week, but I just wanted to sort of touch on this and just recognize the atrocities that are happening over in Ukraine at the moment. And obviously us here at OGR support the Ukrainian people and hope that there is a peaceful resolution as soon as possible. But really just want to highlight a lot of the companies in the gaming space that are doing really great things to put pressure on the Russian market to try and, well, hopefully push that peaceful solution sooner rather than later. But we got people like, I believe Activision Blizzard just recently announced that they'll be suspending game sales in Russia. EA have done the same. And there's another that my brain isn't quite remembering. CD Projekt Red as well. So I really hope that these gestures sort of, sort of come together to create a space where that can sort of happen. And I hope it happens as soon as possible.
Yeah, a bit of change through a thousand cuts, I think. Cap seems to be what's kind of happening. It seems to be a lot of that in the media at the moment, and you know, I think it's it's interesting and obviously quite sad for Ukraine. But yeah, like you say, Cap. I hope everyone, if anyone is listening over that way or has family, I do wish that they are safe and well.
Yeah,
and
stay safe.
Stay safe. Be careful.
Do whatever authorities tell you to do. Actually, Straight Jacket Jim in the chat on Twitch. And if you want to and you want to watch this live rather than listening to it post, you can come and watch us at twitch.tv Oceanic Gaming Radio. Straight Jacket Jim saying that Russia's CSGO esports team has been banned from competition. So there's all kinds of stuff that's happening, which is brilliant. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Dota scene, I think, actually, Grizz, because Russia is massive into Dota.
Yeah, and those who don't know, so that's Virtus Pro. So you would definitely, if you're in the Dota knowledge at all, that's one of the pro teams that has been, you know, competing at multiple TIs over the last few years and have a great pro team and everything else. And one thing that I heard on the Twitter sphere today, Cap, is they have stopped... they are preventing people getting payouts on PayPal at the moment for people in Russia. Right? So Twitch streaming apparently is ever impossible at the moment for you to make your...
Do you know what kind of sucks is, like, I mean, as far as I can tell, it seems like, you know, there's a very small upper echelon of people that are making these horrific decisions and basically everyone below them are suffering. Whether it be in Ukraine or the Russian people who are just being completely led astray. And as a result, I mean, currently MasterCard and Visa card, I don't think you can use them in Russia at the moment. You know, it's just crazy. Again, we just wanted to kind of say, you know, Ukraine, we support you and we hope that these atrocities end as soon as possible. Look, moving along. Grizzo.
Yes, mate.
Epic Games. You know Epic Games? You heard of them?
Yeah, that's the multimedia, fucking, what are they called? They give you a multimedia experience, mate. I know exactly what you're about to tell me, and this is adding to this 100%.
You ever heard of a little thing called Fortnite? Or Fartnite?
Fartnite, yep. Yep. Yeah.
Well, Epic Games has purchased Bandcamp. What does that mean to you, Grizz?
Well, I've got to admit, Cap, it has been a hot minute since I've heard of Bandcamp, right? So I had to do a little bit of Googling. But I do remember that it was something that, like, indie small bands would kind of get on. And from my limited understanding, you get paid quite a high percentage of your royalties through Bandcamp. I think it's something like 90%. So as a music creator, it's actually a pretty good avenue for you to have your music on, and anyone from any level can have their Bandcamp on there. Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And the cool thing about Bandcamp is they often give people access to quite high quality data files for you know, downloading music. So things like FLACK or FLAC files or, you know, OOGs or whatever the other ones are. But, you know, Bandcamp's been around for, you know, ages. And when I used to dabble in the indie sort of Perth amateur music scene, a lot of musicians that we were playing with released their EPs and stuff on Bandcamp because it was just a really easy way to publish your work.
Have you got a Bandcamp cap for your band?
No, we didn't.
Can people catch you on Bandcamp? No.
No, we didn't actually release anything on Bandcamp. We didn't have anything substantial enough to release, but we kind of did the recorded a single and then released it on, you know, Spotify and all that kind of shit. But I mean, Bandcamp's been a brilliant way for indie artists to try and break into the market. And there's been a lot of kind of like, I guess, budding musicians that have made it quite big through Bandcamp and just what it was able to do for them. I think it's kind of been one of these platforms, almost like a bit like SoundCloud, where it kind of was a bit of a, not underground, but you know what I mean? Kind of like a cool space to kind of share music and people be like, check out my Bandcamp kind of thing. Yep, so, yep.
So yeah, I almost equate it to, like, you know, when you have a gig and you have a person off to the side that sells CDs. Almost feel like it's kind of that. Hey, go to my Bandcamp. Rather than saying come and buy a CD, it's like, hey, go to my Bandcamp and buy an album kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Go and get a FLAC from Bandcamp.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I think it obviously is definitely dwarfed by, say, the likes of Spotify, but I do think it serves a different purpose. I think it serves the purpose of providing the actual creator of the music with a way higher royalty fee. So, you know, Spotify, you earn like 0.01 cent of a sale. You sell one CD on Bandcamp and it's like, you know, a couple of hundred thousand listens on Spotify. So if you can market yourself enough and sell through there, it's definitely has its merit as a creative
Absolutely.
artist.
And it just enables these kind of small indie artists to, you know, actually self-publish, which is a huge thing. Not having to use bigger corporations to publish your music. It just means you have more ways to make more money, which is, you know, in an age of, I don't know, people just swallowing up smaller, you know, businesses and everything else. It's kind of nice that these little sort of spaces exist, which is kind of interesting with Epic Games behind these.
So what does this mean? Happen? Yeah, what does it mean?
Exactly. Exactly. So Epic wrote in a statement, Bandcamp will play an important role in Epic's vision to build out a creator marketplace ecosystem for content, technology, games, art, music, and more. Bandcamp co-founder Ethan Diamond explained in a blog post that his company will keep operating as a standalone marketplace and music community. And that this new venture will provide the resources to bring a lot more benefits to the artist labels and fans who use Bandcamp, building the most open artist-friendly ecosystem in the world. That sounds like just something that he's been told to say to me. I worry about this a lot, really.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I just want to say, have a quick discussion. We've talked about this before, but this isn't the first time there has been music on, I'm just going to use Fortnite, but they've had those virtual concerts on Fortnite, you know, where they've tried to kind of break out of that mold that it's a game that you, what is it called, a battle royale, and more into like an entertainment avenue for people to come in and watch a band. So is this part of that vision where they're trying to the metaverse are they trying to just
like
bring it all into
is there some weird crazy integration between Bandcamp and Fortnite where
that's what I'm saying
you can Yeah, I mean, imagine if you, could, as a small indie artist, could, like, release something on Bandcamp and then you could do, like, a Fortnite gig. I don't know. It sounds fucking lame to me, personally. Yeah. It sounds fucking lame. But that might be a thing that, like, you know, people just kind of jump on board with it because it's just another interesting way to kind of get your music out there, right?
I will say it, man. Fortnite as a whole, in terms of their custom map design and like custom games, is actually quite impressive. The last time I ran a stream a while ago, Cap, and it was a community night, and we basically went through and I looked at all the community games, and they've got this really interesting where you basically like get landed on a map and you can kind of enter through these different portals and find these different, like maybe like the most five popular custom games at the time, and some of them are like quite like horde mode, zombie horde modes, and all these different kind of ways to play the game. I wouldn't honestly would not surprise me whether they find a way to integrate some kind of like people uploading indie musics into yeah. it somehow. And
it will be interesting to see what it, like if there is any kind of integration there. But do you know what, dude? I just listening to that, like, it's cool, but I do feel like as you hit these points with these games like Fortnite, where you just keep adding more and more shit in there, it becomes more and more bloated, and then people just ignore parts of the game. Mm. And it makes me wonder just what kind of uptake there will be for something like that. Like, you know, integrating music like this into the game. I mean, it'll be very interesting. I think, though, kind of to kind of break away a little bit from it is Epic is co-owned or has a 40% stake by Tencent, which is a massive Chinese gaming corporation, which yep. this is where I kind of get a little bit worried, is because they do a lot of dodgy stuff. They do a lot of pay-to-win mechanics in their games and copy games and yada, yada, yada. So this is where I worry about what the future of Bandcamp looks like. I think, personally, I think Epic's pretty good. I think they're still a little bit shitty, but I think
Tencent, I wonder whether Bandcamp will still be paying their music creators 90% of the revenue from.
Well, that's a very good question. I think Epic's been pretty good about supporting indies in the past. Like, so I mean, obviously, Epic Games has the Unreal Engine, which is
we should go get an Epic code and start plugging it.
code. Like ding dong yeah. in your freaking Epic game, bloody!
I'll add that to my list.
OGR,
use go buy your Rocket League skins and check in code ding dong in the checkout, baby. Yeah, I can't remember what I was saying. What was I saying? Anyways.
Limited confidence that this is going to be a good merger.
So they also have Unreal Games own the Unity engine. Unreal Engine, sorry, which is a game development suite of tools that you can utilize to create games. And they've generally been pretty good about licensing things to indie developers quite nicely, in a way that they can create games and make a decent income off them without having too much of their income from those games created with that engine, you know, go mostly to them rather than just to Epic. So it will be interesting to see what they do in the long run.
I've got a quote here from an article that I found as I was just researching this, but it's basically it was a snippet from a bloke called Ted Goyer, who is a music historian. And his experiences, and he had a couple of examples, but when he was talking about business mergers between a big company or a smaller company, particularly when they work in different industries, the statistics say that in more than a few instances, the acquiring company destroys the business it bought. Not immediately, but it happens sooner rather than later. They often had the best intentions, but the chance of failure dramatically increases when the acquiring company is in a different industry. So it'll be interesting to see where it lands, I feel. Yes.
Do you know what? On top of that, dude, like I read, I can't remember when it was a while ago, and it kind of supports this as well, is like overall, like when a corporation takes over like a smaller business that has quite a lot of like, I don't know, positive sentiment from a select group of people, which is kind of what this is, right? So it's the people who support Bandcamp generally are kind of very into Bandcamp and you know, probably don't want it touched by bigger corporations. But just in general, when this kind of things happens, overall sentiment for the product decreases because a corporation owns it.
All right,
because people don't want some big fucking, like, you know, fucking corporation with its greedy fingers over the top of it, you know?
Here's a question to Cap and Pav. How would you guys feel if Team Cherry was bought by Epic?
Honestly, probably good.
Would you?
And the reason I say that is because it's in the same industry.
Okay. Well, let me think of a different industry that's fucking shit. What if Team Cherry was bought by Twitch?
Ooh.
Still kind of the same industry, I guess.
Do you know what? I've got to change this for you. What if Team Cherry was bought by Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
Firstly, what the fuck?
Well, you would end up with like Coca-Cola branding and shit in it.
Yeah.
It would just
brand which, new. That might be Coca-Cola Team Cherry.
There won't be any solo. It'll be all fueled by Coke.
Yeah. So
I understand what you're saying, though. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I do agree. I still think that, like, I think there's like it tarnishes the reputation of that particular product when a corporation buys it. Note how you use the word tarnish. Elden Ring thing. Anyways, I think honestly, overall, I think let's see what happens, but I think you're probably right. I think Bandcamp might actually die.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming back to this in a couple of months, and maybe I'll clip this conversation and highlight it so we can piece it together in that episode and go, look what we said and look what happened. And yeah, we're totally wrong.
Maybe we'll be eating shit and maybe we're incorrect. I hope so.
Maybe you mean you'll be sitting in Fortnite watching Carnival play live or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, maybe like Bandcamp like just eclipses Spotify suddenly. I don't know how. I don't know how that would even be possible. But I don't know. It's interesting because I kind of forgot about Bandcamp because it's one of those things that like people obviously still utilize it day to day. But like music, when it comes to music for me, everything's just streaming. You know, I just stream fucking everything, dude. And it's probably the worst way to consume music because the art, especially for indie artists and amateur bands, but they get like stuff all from you streaming music. Right. If you can ever do anything to help, if you want to help an artist that you really like, go and buy their album. And do it from a place like Bandcamp, at least whilst the royalty is looking good. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens to Bandcamp. Like, I wonder if maybe they create some kind of streaming service all of a sudden, you know, maybe somehow they enter the market for streaming, or maybe they integrate with Spotify somehow. Yeah, who knows?
Well more power. I guess one thing that is interesting, Cap, is they did come out and say during their lawsuit with Apple, which I think we talked about another episode. Is it Apple?
We have spoken.
They were talking about how the fact that they are not a game. They're not a game platform. They are a multimedia service. And I guess this is kind of strengthening that take, right? They're acquiring things that are outside the realm of video games. So,
yeah. Too bad they won't be able to try and use this to help their argument in their lawsuit because that's all over and done with now. So there you go. The old Bandcamp, no longer the indie darling of a generation. Grizzo, Steam Deck, you thinking of buying one?
I am, mate. I will. I'm going to wait for it to come out and wait to hear everyone's thoughts and reviews. By the way, I haven't read anything and I haven't even seen anything. I've just seen a picture of it. The idea of a Steam Deck, and for those of you that haven't heard about Steam Deck and you've been living under a rock, but essentially it is a handheld console that allows you to play basically your Steam directory. No bounds. I believe that some games are optimized for it, Cap.
I don't know if there is completely no bounds, actually. I think there might be some games that purely just aren't supported. For example, I know Destiny 2 has come out and said they will absolutely not support the Steam Deck.
Oh, they will not
play it on there. Okay. Yeah, okay. Interesting. So that is something that Bungie has said about Destiny 2 will not be able to run on the Steam Deck and they won't be supporting it. Hmm. Do you think, okay, in my mind, two reasons. A, it runs like shit on the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Maybe. B, Bungie were just bought by Sony. Maybe fucking Sony has something in the works for a handheld console.
Hmm. Can I tell you my honest opinion?
Yeah.
Destiny 2 is a live service game. Yeah. Constantly fucking adding new content, DLCs, all this stuff. I feel like Destiny has a hard enough time to maintain their own frames and stuff on PC and console to then add another thing into the ring, which is already underpowered and trying to make it work on that would be a development hassle. But
yeah,
I don't know.
No, I tell you what, I've seen like Destiny running on low graphic settings on some pretty low end PCs and it runs pretty good.
Dude, I swear Mikey used to play it on Vita. Destiny 2.
Well, I think you could stream it on Vita.
That's what he was doing. He was streaming it. But he was like, I remember he was like, back when he had really young kids and I was playing Destiny, we'd be playing with him and he'd be like on his couch playing on his Vita. while he had like a sleeping baby on his chest and was doing dungeons and everything. Like, he just couldn't talk.
Do you know what? In my opinion, that is the way you want to play a lot of Destiny, because a lot of Destiny is grinding shit out, doing like, you know, fairly, you know, I'm just going to say it, mundane, you know, public quests and activities. You know, obviously when it comes to raids and stuff like that, you probably want to be playing on a fairly optimal rig. But for a lot of that game, like, I just feel like, you know, farming materials and you know, farming different activities, like the best thing would be to have it handheld, because then you can just do it in bed or, you know, just chill out and kind of play it on the couch like Mikey was doing. That would be, for me, that would be the ideal way to do a lot of that game. And then, you know, when you've got some more intense stuff, like some more high challenging kind of, you know, content and activities, then obviously jump on your PC. You got a raid, jump on your PC. You know, you just farm a mats, jump on your Steam Deck. I just thought it was very interesting that they said they didn't want to support it at all. But I agree with you. I think maybe.
Well, dude, I was actually thinking about this. How successful do you think if you could play World of Warcraft on a handheld device? What if Blizzard brought out a World of Warcraft? That was all it was. But this is what I mean. Like, I feel like what we're currently doing in our PCs and stuck on our PCs is slowly generating to these more handheld accessible things. Because it just mean not having to come, like, we had this conversation before, Kat, but I know that you enjoy to sit on your bed with your Switch and the two controllers and quite a comfortable way to play the game. Games. Imagine if you had the ability to play Elden Ring or something, or at a good frame rate, at a, you know, whenever you wanted on a handheld.
Yeah.
Is this like, maybe you're right. Maybe it is something that Sony have plans for.
Dude, I would find it very hard to believe that Sony do a lot in the space of creating, if you compare Sony to Microsoft, for example, and to Nintendo, Sony are about exclusives and they're about their console hardware, right? Whereas Microsoft seem to be more about just having an ecosystem, games passes, bringing people into their platforms. I mean, obviously they want to sell consoles, but they're kind of unifying their consoles between PC and console, you know, Xbox. Whereas Sony's very PS5, PS4 centric. They want to get people using those consoles, and they do that by having these amazing exclusives. So it would blow my mind if they have not at least thought about creating some kind of handheld experience. I know the PS Vita didn't do particularly well.
But, yeah, sales were shit.
What's going on with
lasted 5 minutes or something? Yeah,
yeah. It basically burned and died. But the thing is, like, look at the Nintendo Switch. It's one of the best selling consoles of all time. Surely they look at that and go, how do we get a slice of that pie?
I was actually going to bring this up when we were talking about our Pokemon episode last time. And Cardles, I can see you in the chat. Maybe go check out last episode where we talk about the release of the new Pokemon games. But Cap, they're still talking about releases coming years to come on the Switch. What is the shelf life of this thing? Like, the games are already pushing its technology.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, Arceus, in my mind, really displayed that. And even Breath of the Wild, when that first came out, I don't know if you remember playing Breath of the Wild, but when you walk into where you get the Master Sword in the forest, the fucking frame rate shits the bed.
Doesn't it?
Big time. Okay. Yeah. Fucking Cleveland steamer. But that's the thing, dude, is like, I'm pretty sure I read something somewhere recently saying that it was like a director of Nintendo or something. Again, this is a paraphrase and I have nothing to back this up. This is just something I'm pretty sure I read. Wrong, tell us in the comments. But I'm pretty sure that the director said, like, you know, the Nintendo's lifespan is, you know, there's still got plenty of wiggle room in there. So I don't know. It doesn't surprise me. I think the thing is with something like the Switch is they've onboarded a lot of people, and I guess they want to kind of support that for a while. But, I mean, dude, if they brought out a Switch Pro, I would fucking trade my Switch in the day of and get the brand-new Switch Pro that had, you know, X amount.
Give you more stable frame rates and bits and pieces like that. Dude, do you remember when they brought out, and this is just talking about Nintendo as a whole, but Nintendo 64 had that, like, graphics chip that you could put in. And they had exclusive games for that. I'm pretty sure you could only play Donkey Kong 64 with that in it.
Yes, correct. yeah, you could only play it with the, and it was like, it was literally like an extra RAM. That's all it really was.
Was it RAM?
Yeah,
was
I'm pretty sure it was just RAM. But, and it literally just sat in that little thing, that little opening thing. Quite interesting that they even had, I mean, what was that for initially?
I don't think anything else went in there, man. I don't know if anything else ever went in there.
Blows my fucking mind that they like built that console and then put that port on the front, and it was like, yeah, we might use this in the future. Release this little extra.
Dude, it
extra
had heaps of shit like that. Like it had like the rumble pack that you'd put in the controller.
Yeah.
And, like, well, I can't remember those.
Yeah, all these connection or, like, things.
Yeah, all these little connection things. Yeah, and then Sony were just like, we're just gonna inbuilt fucking rumble packs into our controllers, you nerds, and just do it that way. Yeah.
Well, dude, I mean, that's another thing. Like when you look at like the way hardware's changed over time. Remember how big into like rumble features, like, you know, people were at E3s, like early E3s, like the Juice Shock 3, you know, like this thing feels like an earthquake. And you're like, well, I don't want to fucking hold an earthquake in my hands. I just want to play games, dude.
I tell you what, I'm really impressed. Well, I haven't played the Xbox Series X, but I feel like the PlayStation 5 controllers, The rumble features and like the haptic feedback on the triggers and all that kind of stuff, I feel like it's hit a real sweet point. Like, so nice to play.
I totally agree. I mean, I know we're a little bit off topic with the Steam Deck, Ben. We'll get back on track in a second. But I actually think that this controller from this PlayStation generation is my favorite controller of all time at this stage. And having played Horizon Zero Dawn on the PS5 recently, and then Elden Ring just basically consuming my entire fucking life, the little time I did have with Horizon, just the way that they use the haptic triggers and that feedback from the triggers on when you put, like, using the bow and stuff, and like, it feels awesome. So yeah, look, anyway, we better get back on track. Steam Deck, people have had time with it now. The reviews are starting to come out. I'm just going to read one from, here we go, PC Mag. Deck, to conjure the same magic I've felt from the Nintendo Switch since 2017, playing big games on small screens just feels awesome. Despite its being in this early stages, Steam Deck is already the most compelling mainstream hardware Valve has ever made and most exciting non-Nintendo handheld since people stopped pretending the PS Vita had a future.
Now, Cap, tell me, how much is one of these Steam Decks? What are they?
I actually don't know. Maybe someone in the chat can give us that information quickly. I don't know. I know there's a few different SKUs. So there's like the base model, the Mad Dog model, and the fucking Elon Musk model that has everything attached to it. And
is that right?
Fly out to space and everything else. Yeah.
Take you to Mars.
Yeah, it'll take you to Mars and land the airplane for you. But just another one in here from Tech Raider. The Steam Deck is a brilliant gaming device that should appeal to PC gamers looking for a way to play their games while on the go, but who don't fancy a gaming laptop, which is basically me. For console gamers who want a polished, straightforward experience, knock half a star off the score, but don't discount the Steam Deck yet either. Now, these are obviously two positive reviews. They both scored about 90 odd. I'm seeing a lot of people saying they really like the hardware. They like the way it feels. You know, they think that, you know, it works pretty well. Obviously, the draw of being able to play your PC Steam library on the go, to me, that's just, I want one really bad. But it seems that there's a few bugs with the UI. Some of the games don't run amazingly. And obviously there's a fairly narrow, well, not a narrow scope, but obviously you're not, and you're also not limited to the ones that say like Steam Deck certified on Steam. That's a badge that you'll notice on games from now on in the Steam library. Obviously those games, apparently, according to the testers, run pretty well on the Steam Deck. You're not limited to those, but obviously you're probably going to want to only really play those titles, right? Because otherwise, what's the point playing a game that runs at fucking 5 FPS a second? You know, it's like freaking living back in the Stone Age. But
I think this is going to be, well, in my mind, I feel like this is going to be an ongoing issue with the Steam Deck. I just feel like every game is optimized differently and plays differently across the platforms. An example of that is looking at the Elden Ring release between PC and PlayStation 5. You know, we had a great release on PlayStation 5, plays beautifully. I haven't had any issues. And then the PC release is plagued with problems. So unless You've got a dedicated team, which maybe they do. I think you've spoken about it before, that's going through and, yeah, actually spending the time and making sure that the game is, I don't know, like optimized a little bit to run on the handheld.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest, I think, like, to me, when I hear about the Steam Deck and what it's trying to achieve, it's trying to, like, it is trying to create, it's a piece of hardware that's trying to, like, to be on the go and play, you know, what must be hundreds and thousands of titles on Steam. Mm. You know, like, no other console has that much potential shit that can be ran on it. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of crazy to think that someone's even undertaken that as a challenge.
Madness.
But Straight Jacket Jim has just said, looks like the Steam Deck's $400 US, which is like, what's that in Aussie? Probably about $600 or something.
$600 Aussie, something like that.
Yeah. So, does, but I mean, have, that must, like, be...
Is it gonna have exclusives? Is there any? You don't reckon? There's going to be no devs that are going to be like, we're going to design this.
Well, there's nothing really on there that, I mean, it has a little touch screen and stuff like that, I believe. And, you know, it's literally just a Switch. Like, I don't really see anyone targeting only the Steam Deck, because then it may as well be on PC as well.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? But to give you guys a bit of an idea of what the other side of the spectrum with reviews is, The Verge said, both of these things are true. First, I'm having more fun with the Steam Deck than any gadget I've tested in years. Second, the Steam Deck is a mess. It's rushed, unfinished, buggy, and unstable. If Valve sold the console I've been playing at Best Buy or GameStop, people would return it in droves. So it's not sounding too fucking good. I've also heard that battery life isn't amazing.
Okay. Well, that's serious.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I will rephrase that slightly. The battery life is highly variable depending on what you play.
That happens with the Switch as well. If I play Slay the Spire, man, I can get like 3 or 4 train trips in, which is a long time. But if I play Hades, it's like 1 trip and it's fucking gone, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. You know, like, when it comes down to that kind of stuff, like, I think battery life is so freaking important. So I wonder if there's, it'll be interesting to see. Because one big thing about this, a lot of people are kind of citing that the operating system and the software that they use to run the games and stuff is a bit buggy and a bit shitty. The good thing about that is that stuff can be ironed out over time. Obviously, you want it perfect right now. Mm. Of course we do. We always want things to be fucking 100% as soon as it hits the floor. But it's never really the case these days with a lot of games. It's very rare that you play a game.
Dude, Switch had, I don't even remember when Switch came out, but they offered you the ability to take in your original Switch to get it replaced because they had battery issues with them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they had a big bunch of the initial releases, and there was a barcode or something you could check to see whether yours affected. But yeah, essentially you'd get half the battery life of what you should get. Based on it normally. Yeah.
Well, what about things like Joy-Con drift, Grizzo?
Yeah, Joy-Con drift. Yeah,
exactly. I haven't had that particular issue personally, but I know many people who have had Joy-Con drift issues with the Nintendo Switch. And I believe, and I'm just going to double check this.
Well, I enjoy docking, Cap, my Nintendo Switch.
Oh, I was going to say, what?
So I actually very rarely, well, I play it on the train, but I spend most of my time on my PC with, if I play it and, you know, just put it on there. So all of my, because, okay, the grind that I played a lot of hours on it, man, but most of it was Mario Maker 2. And it was all docked.
Can we get someone clip that, please? Fucking hell. Unbelievable. Well, yeah. I'll let you dig yourself out of that one a little bit further, but I just want to interject really quickly. So the Joy-Con drift, the reason I brought that up is because people were noting with review copies of the Steam Deck that they were experiencing controller drift.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
But it looks like since then, Valve has come out and noted that the drift is a software problem, and it looks like a fix has been rolled out.
That's so bizarre that the drift is a software problem. Dude, they had they had drift on the PlayStation 5 controllers as well, the initial ones.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a thing called dead zone regression. It's something to do with where, you know, the controller is virtually seen or whatever by the by the reading hardware. And
dude, I'm just you talking about this just reminds me of the Nintendo 64 controllers after you play a couple of rounds of fucking Mario Party and end up with like the control stick is just like fucking the freeboard across the controller.
It must have been the fucking first time that in the history of humanity that humans started to generate fucking calluses on the center of their fucking hands.
Exactly.
Yeah, God did not fucking design us that way. That is for fucking sure. But yeah, so anyways, very varied reviews on the Steam Deck.
Interesting.
It's looking like, I mean, there's still a little way to go. Look,
what do you reckon, Cam? What do you reckon, mate? What do you, are you hopeful that this is something that is going to be not another Vita? Is this going to be something that's going to take off? What are your thoughts?
Do you know what? I really do hope so. I kind of worry about things that Valve does when they enter the hardware space, because I mean, I don't know if you remember the Steam controller, but that kind of shit the bed a bit. And then they had some other streaming thing that didn't do quite well either. So they've had a couple of forays into the hardware market, but
Pat's got one. The streaming thing.
The streaming thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called the streaming thing. Valve streaming thing. but yeah, look, I suppose time will tell, really. It's going to really depend. I think the price is fairly okay. Like, I'm not too far. I mean, if it's about $600, I mean, you know, you what's can't a buy Switch? A gaming PC for that.
What's a Switch? 400? 500?
Switch is 400 and something. But this would have to have way better specs than the Switch, surely. I mean, again, I don't really fucking know. Research properly, because that's just how I rock and roll in this podcast. Hit the deck running, mate. Never just do any research,
mate. I haven't been able to research anything for weeks now. I'm just coming in here completely cold. But with
Capo doing the heavy lifting on the research.
I'll come good in the following weeks, mate. I promise. All right.
No, it's all good, mate. But yeah, so yeah. Anyways, Steam Deck. We'll see what happens. Overall, I think it's okay. I want to get one. Okay-ish. Pav wants to get one, I think.
Just to add, I believe I saw recently that it's going to be like super accessible with like third-party software and like repair-wise, you can just send it to anyone to repair because they're releasing a full breakdown of every component and how everything works together. And like, I think
selling parts,
it's like unheard of, and it's really, really interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about how difficult it is to get like, okay. So I remember when the 3DS first came out, I had mates whose 3DSs, you know, for whatever reason, something happened to it software wise or hardware wise, getting those fixed, you had to send it into Nintendo, and only certain parts of it were covered by warranty, and it was just a gigantic pain in the ass. I believe probably similar things for the Switch. But, I mean, Nintendo's obviously very always held their cards close to their chest kind of thing when it comes to hardware, because I don't want people learning how to, you know, like jailbreak their shit.
Even still though people
do. Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I think this is like it's interesting to see a developer slash, you know, corporation go completely the opposite way with something like that. So yeah, very interesting, Pavo. But yeah, Grizzo, out of 10, how likely are you to get a Steam Deck?
5.5.
Only if you can dock with it.
Yeah, only if it allows docking, mate. And so far I don't think it has a dock, so not. Yeah,
we can get the internet browser up, mate. I'm sure we can figure something out. All right, so moving along, mate. PSVR 2. Grizz, did you play the first PSVR?
All right.
PlayStation virtual reality.
I'm going to surprise you and everybody else in chat right now. I have never used VR.
Yeah. Never? No. Really? Not once?
Never. I think Pav's got every fucking piece of kit ever.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, I've never played VR.
Yeah.
And after this review, we'll have a chat about my thoughts on VR as a whole, because I'm still not tickled. It still hasn't tickled my fancy, and this hasn't quite yet either. But maybe soon. Yeah,
yeah. Look, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the PlayStation VR 2. I've got. I'm just going to first begin with some statistics
Got some specs for me. Tell me the juicy specs.
Specs. Man, look, they announced the PS VR a little while ago. Ogre's a little bit slow off the mark to talk about this kind of shit. But
yeah, I put this in the tracker like 4 weeks ago.
The hottest news. The hottest month old news available right here on Spotify and everywhere else. All right, hang on. Where are we? Dude, I swear this article had the specs and now it's just disappeared.
I've got them here, Cap. I've got them here. You want me to read them out?
I do, yeah.
All right. So yeah, the resolution.
Yeah, go.
You got it?
Sorry.
All right, I'll start and maybe you can pick up halfway through. The resolution is 2000 by 2040 per eye, which to me.
Weird. That's weird, don't you reckon?
Is that how does that work? So like
2000 by 2040.
That's a lot. That is pretty high resolution, man. Which
fucking
is
atheist,
well, I guess when you're right there and it's right in front of your face, you need it to be very high resolution because you're probably gonna.
Yeah, but surely, pixels. Like, because I mean, so this is 4K HDR compatible. Mm. Is that the word I'm using? So I would assume that this thing ships with like a little processing box because I know the last one had. I'm pretty sure. Pav, can you just confirm the last one had a processing unit that came with the PSVR?
It's all in the headset, isn't it, for the PlayStation ones?
Maybe. I thought there was a little unit, a little box that went with it, but maybe I'm just an idiot. I did have one, and I literally used it once, and my glasses fogged up whilst I was using it. I went, ah! I'm playing it. It's a shit.
The little box that comes with it is just like an adapter unit to push it through to the PlayStation and the TV.
Now, Cap, I did listen to a podcast today that talked about some additional venting in the headset to specifically stop fog of glasses and the screen.
Well, I will be the perfect test of that, dude, because I run like a fucking red dwarf sun. I'm like the hottest fucking thing on this planet. Not visually.
Is that red stuff on your face, hair or fire? Just wanting to confirm.
A bit of both, actually. Thank you very much. Currently in the process of spontaneously combusting, if you wouldn't mind. but yeah, so it'll be that'll be very interesting to see what the deal is with.
I like the way we're doing this. We're going to talk about each stat as it comes. So the next one, Cap, is it is an OLED screen. So what does that mean?
Yep.
Different to
what does the O stand for?
Oiled. Or, I don't know.
Or orgasmic.
Do you know?
Outrageous.
Well, I know that you were telling me. So OLED on the Switch, easier to see in low
onion?
Light environments.
Is it onion?
More clarity and stuff. Like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, OLEDs are better than regular LEDs.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, Pav is just saying that he lied in the chat. There is a processing unit. Okay. Fucking told you. And look, there it is. And it's got a little fan in it and everything. You can see that live on Twitch TV as we record this podcast, twitch.tv/ Oceanic Gaming Radio. Anyways, carry on. So there is a processing unit. So I wonder if that is available with this as well, or do they just fully go to just everything in the headset?
It is corded, which...
But it looks like the cord for this new headset is much less egregious, and I don't know if I'm using that word correctly, but I'm going to use it anyway, in the sense that it's not as in the way.
Look, I hate to fucking shit on VR, but just give me wireless, man. I want to fucking be able to,
dude, like... Do you know how, like, I agree, and there are wireless things you can get. There's wireless headsets, but when it comes to, creating a console-compatible headset, there's no way it's going to be.
Is it wireless? The competitor wireless? Who's the other one? They are. The Vibe is wireless.
Well, Vive.
Vive is wireless.
Yeah. Vibe but is a petrol station chain.
Pretty sure Vibe is a
I believe they're wireless as well.
Pretty sure.
Sorry? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that goes along with your fucking docking fascination. But. I think, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like. Because, I mean, dude, 2000 by 2040 per eye and then OLED screens. That's probably going to look pretty freaking crispo.
Cap, this is probably the reason why it's wired too, mate, because those specs are pretty crisp. And not to mention, it is also 120 hertz as well, which I believe
is kind of nuts, dude.
Yeah. So I mean, the issues previously with VR, you know, people getting motion sick, and say if you've got an unstable frame rate and you whip your head around somewhere and it's not responding as your head moves and there's a little bit of delay, whether it's from frame rate or whatever it might be, you're going to get this sense that you've almost got what's that thing when your head moves and your eyes move after when you're sick?
Like motion sickness.
Motion sickness. And so the higher frame rate and the higher specs you've got for you to be able to move around in VR, the better it's going to be. So maybe that is why it's wired, so it allows these, you know.
It's definitely to do with that, because they're trying to reach like a baseline of specifications to ensure that that kind of thing doesn't happen. But I just literally don't think that the PS5 would be able to handle the amount of bandwidth to transfer between the headset and the PS5 in a way that would be economically viable as a commercially as a product, because I mean I would assume that this should be a fair bit cheaper than a lot of the other headsets on the market, and I don't know if pricing's out yet, but I'm pretty sure
$399 Oz. I don't know whether that's Oz.
I mean, even if that's USD, that's still pretty cheap in comparison to a lot of headsets.
Here we go. Consider the PS2 will likely boast a handful of intuitive designs, choice, and features. It's unlikely that Sony will price a $299. Instead, we can probably expect the console to launch at the same price as its predecessor, which was $399. So I'm assuming that $399. So, okay, this is speculation. Sorry. This is speculation. But
speculation's generally in USD in my research. But look, the Oculus Quest is almost 500 AUD. So okay. I'd expect the price point to be around about there, because it's got to compete with that, right? The Oculus Quest is, I believe, a wireless all-in-one. So you download shit onto the actual Oculus and then you play it, you know, without a PC or anything, which is pretty fucking cool. So to go up against that, you're going to have to ensure that you have something pretty
good,
you know, reasonably priced. But again, I think that cable, again, I agree. I think the way I would want to play VR, I haven't got a VR headset, but I would want to play it with as little restriction as possible. And that cable's fairly restrictive, but I understand why they use it, because obviously to maintain that economic kind of viability and commercial viability.
So apparently they've worked on the technology a bit, Cap. The anti, I can't remember, there's an actual word for it, but basically anti you banging into things technology. So
particular headset.
So the PSVR 2 comes with 4 cameras for headset and controllers and an IR camera for tracking. But the cameras, when you get close to something, it will actually tell you and it will send out an image that you can see when you're close to something.
So you've obviously got a camera on the actual headset to show you what's going on.
There's cameras on the headset that around the actual circumference.
Fuck, I wonder what the sensitivity like that is going to be, because like I you know what my house is like. It's not the biggest house in the world. So if I was going to play in my office, like what's the sensitivity on that? And is it going to be going off every 2 seconds? Be like,
well, here's the thing, because I feel like the VR fails that I've seen result from one real quick, fast movement in direction that it doesn't matter how much warning you get in the camera, you are head planting into for the TV absolutely or the wall or something for like that. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, yeah, I think the, and it also has eye tracking, Grizzo. I believe
it's cool. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. So it'll be interesting to see how they integrate that as a feature for games and stuff. Well, because I think one of the main games coming out is going to be a Horizon game.
Eye tracking would be great. And thinking of the logistics of this, but say if you're playing a character and you're sitting there and your character model's there, if it's tracking where you're looking, then you can actually have your eyes of your character moving to where you're actually looking as well, and your head and bits and pieces. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of different ways that they could utilize that in game, just like you said, or whatever else.
Streamers beware, mate. That's all I'll say. Oh, beware.
It's like that. He's a Greek god X, and he does that that VR thing, and he's like looking at the sexy girl in the fucking VR, and like, you know, tracks his eyes, and then he's like just goes straight to the tits. And he's like, shit. Oh, just so funny. Anyways, also, flexible scaling resolution, FSR, concentrates rendering resources on the player's area of focus, which technically this kind of thing is already in a lot of games. Like if you've ever been playing a game and then you quickly swing around and then you notice the textures pop in behind you, your character and stuff like that, same kind of thing happens, but obviously in a VR kind of setting.
And you were talking about this for Elden Ring, but I think the reason why they're paying a lot of attention to this is I feel like FPS in general is really important in VR, obviously, because you don't want to be because you've got it on your head, and you know if you're dropping frames and everything else, it's going to not only look like shit, but probably end up with a bit of motion sickness.
Probably make you feel like shit.
Yeah.
Now, Grizz, let's talk about the design. Have you got a picture of that? I'm just going to chuck this in the Twitch chat so people at home can have a bit of a squiz.
Yep. Give us a look, mate.
For those of you listening at the podcast, go and check out the PlayStation blog. That's where we're watching this, but they've released a blog article that kind of shows you what it looks like. The headset itself looks fairly similar to the last one. Definitely a little bit sexier, sleeker, but very, very similar kind of design to the headset itself. Obviously got the single cable coming off, and it looks like those are the four cameras coming off the front of the headset there, Grizzo. Now the controllers are very cool.
They are very cool. And I just want to say, Cap, they didn't sell controllers with the headset.
No, they did not. So that, do you reckon they'll sell the controllers together with this?
It'll come surely, with this. And maybe that might be a price bump up on the actual...
Actually, that's itself. A very good point. Maybe that will lead to a price bump up with this stuff.
I think they came to realize with the original PSVR and what they had coming out with their competition that having controllers was not mandatory, but very, very important.
How many of these experiences on the VR don't need a controller?
I couldn't imagine.
I would say most of them need the controller.
The big ones that I know, like, you know, your Beat Saber and all that kind of thing are all swinging them around.
I mean, absolutely. Well, look, I'm going to kind of try and explain these controllers to those listening on the podcast, but they're pretty futuristic looking. It's kind of like, it's like a circle thing that then kind of comes out of the circle into a controller that you hold. So the circle kind of encapsulates around your fist or behind your fist, and then you're gripping like a little piece of the controller that comes off perpendicular to that circle. And I'm guessing that there must be like gyrometers and lights and stuff that come off that circle, and that's how they're doing tracking and all that kind of stuff on your hands.
Dude,
but
you know
what, man,
so
it looks
cool.
Freaking cool.
Yeah,
it looks
they
so
look really
cool.
Good.
Yeah, I think this design, like, I think it's very sexy.
Yeah.
I tell you what, dude, maybe it's in the future, like PSVR 2, like they find some way to, because I'm just looking at the way that the cable's in there. I wonder if they find a way to make this wireless in the future and they just kind of release it wired for now.
It almost looks like you can pull that in and out, that cable that we can see there.
Yeah. Yeah, overall, I think it looks very, very sexy, and I think if you haven't checked it out, make sure you go and have a bit of a look at the design blog on PlayStation, because it's looking pretty cool. I think the big thing for me, though, Grizz, is you saying that the ventilation in the headset has been improved. That's huge, because like I said, the ventilation of the last headset and just how shit that was for me with glasses made me completely not want to use it at all.
There you go. Yeah, I did hear that. Now, the bit I wanted to talk about here, Cap, is this going to make you go buy a VR headset?
Well, I've technically bought one before, but I just never used it because I thought the experience was shite.
Actually, I'm going to reframe it. I'm going to reframe my question. Do you think... VR hasn't quite hit mainstream gaming. Like, no one's designing big AAA story or large releases. That I feel like it's all like feasibility tests, and this is what we can do with VR, and the only real games that are doing stuff are almost like crowdfunded things like Beat Saber and other few bits and pieces that are impressive. Do you think that this new technology or what they've done with PSVR 2 is that stepping stone in the right direction to see VR as itself come forward in the game industry to have devs go and make stuff?
Probably not. Do you know what? I and we've spoken about this in our dad bod chat, which is just like, for those listening, all that, what the fuck are you talking about? It's just like our Facebook chat with a bunch of our mates in there. I think for me, gaming is sitting down in front of a screen and not moving around much, right? I kind of want to do little movement, like as little movement as possible because I'm relaxing, right? I don't really play many games to, you know, exercise or anything like that. I mean, if I had the option, maybe I would. But for the most part, gaming for me is a fairly sedate kind of activity. So until they kind of, okay, if you can create a VR headset, well, I'm sure that they have this, but for VR headsets to give you the gaming experience where you chuck the headset on and then in front of you is all of your desktop and everything else, and you just kind of coexist in that space, and you can play games in your headset and they look fucking amazing because the screen's right in front of your eyes and it's been, you know, rendered properly so that it looks really good in front of you. I think until that moment, and that because then they're not really targeting it as a different platform. They're kind of integrating it into what we already do. Until they do that, I just can't see VR really gripping and holding on. And then obviously price is another problem as well. Not everyone wants to go and buy a dedicated VR headset because, you know, not everyone's going to just use that dedicated for their gaming, right? So they're going to go and buy a PC or a Switch or something because that's the accepted gaming model now at the moment. So until VR bridges that gap between traditional gaming and giving you the option to do VR and more VR kind of experiences, I don't think it's going to take off.
I 100% agree with you. And I feel like at the moment VR is being applied after the fact for a lot of games. So you know how they, and what I'm talking about is, you know, you can play Skyrim VR, you can play Subnautica VR, etc. And I think done right, in my mind, it has the technology and the merit to be amazing. And I'll just put an example in your head. Imagine if Subnautica was made for VR, right? And you are sitting in your computer chair like this and you take a dive down and you look up and you can see the scope of how it's different when it's in front of your face. And I feel like if you can see, you can almost like depth perception, but you're using your eyes to see how far away the surface of the water is, it would add a whole different ball game. If a game was designed like a big storyline game, something like Subnautica, say that was designed for VR and it was done right, I could see it being amazing. But I just don't think we're there yet. And I even think with these changes, but PSVR 2, I still think it's not there in my mind quite yet. And even the thing about being corded and that kind of stuff, if you want to have that experience, I don't know.
Yeah, I think these are steps in the right direction. And as we get more and more headsets come along and next generations of headsets, yada, 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 I think we're getting there. But yeah, look, overall, I think the design looks really fucking cool. The specs look impressive. Let's see how it goes in the wild. But yeah, moving along, Grizzo. Yeah. We're just over the hour mark for the odd podcast. So I think we've got one more little news.
I'm excited about this one.
We'll have a bit of a chat about some things we've been doing. But look, Bandai Namco has announced a significant pay rise for its developers. And obviously Bandai Namco have a lot to do with the publishing of Elden Ring, working with From Software. I don't know if this directly affects the From Software employees. I couldn't really find anything that sort of solidly said that was the case, but it looks like that they're having a lot of wins with a lot of their products. Obviously Elden Ring's done really well recently, and I think that's pretty freaking cool,
dude. That is very cool. And that's these good news stories, like especially around like work culture, and particularly in a time where it's very public around, you know, a lot of the stuff we saw shady from Blizzard a while back and other bits and pieces that I feel like, what do you say, work conditions for gaming studios and those kind of things are in the public domain now. You know, we hear about a lot of that stuff. So hearing good news stories like this, and maybe this is off, I don't know whether it is, Cap, because I haven't actually looked into this, but is this off the back of Elden Ring being so successful and you know, cranking the sales and other bits and pieces, or is this just...
Look, I definitely believe that it's all closely linked and related. I would assume that the reason that they're kind of doing this kind of thing is literally because they've had so much success with a lot of their titles. I'm trying to think of other Bandai Namco games that have come out recently, but I mean, Elden Ring has just popped off. So to give you an idea, Elden Ring has become one of the biggest non-FIFA and COD releases since Red Dead Redemption 2 in the UK, which is pretty freaking massive. And on top of that, it's been one of the most covered games in recent times in terms of just bulk amount of news articles in relation to the game itself. So I'm just going to chuck a little image in the Twitch chat for those Twitch viewers. But basically, ooh, it's la, just a graph of games coverage for particular games. Over just recently, Horizon Forbidden West had about 4,500 articles written about it. Elden Ring had 7,323.
Dude, there's a lot that's not captured
here, too. Oh yeah,
like the Twitch viewership of Elden Ring still is,
has been nuts,
fucking insane. And on my I'm on TikTok as well, gamer TikTok. But the amount of Elden Ring TikToks that I see is just like absolutely through the roof.
Oh yeah, absolutely, dude. I mean, and it's just absolutely nuts. But look, going back to this Bandai Namco pay rise thing. So one reason I kind of wanted to highlight this is because I really feel like being a developer is a fucking thankless job. And either, you know, your game goes really well and everyone fucking loves you, or, you know, your game goes through ups and downs or is just shit and then everyone's cursing you to the high heavens. But I mean, just to give you an idea, like, you know, development in games is obviously a branch of software development. I'm looking at payscale.com. The average base salary for a video game developer is $51,000, dude.
Jesus, man.
Yeah. So, which is pretty fucking nuts. Average software development base salary is about 70K. So, you know, it's definitely a labor of love. So it's kind of nice to see developers getting recognition, being supported, because you don't get into that industry because you want to make money generally, especially being a developer. You might do if you want to be in kind of like design or something like that. I feel like game designers do really well. But when it comes to development itself, I think you really have to love the job, and it's nice to see these guys getting supported. So I say Bandai Namco, you get a freaking tick of approval from Big Clappo.
Huge effort. Woohoo! What a nice news story in amongst the shit that we've seen in the last little while too, Cap.
Absolutely, dude. It is really, really nice to see it. But another nice news story, Grizzo, is that Elden Ring continues to defy all expectations. Well, not really. I mean, everyone expected it to be a good game, but it just continues to just be probably, I will say, it's probably my favorite game of all time.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm there with you. We said this last time. Right now, it. I haven't got into the end game yet, but my God, I am absolutely hooked.
Dude, I'm not in the end game either. In fact, I think it's probably a good time to kind of discuss how we're approaching the game. But I basically have this thing when I play Dark Souls games and a lot of games in general, and it's why I leave a lot of games unfinished, is because when I play a game, I need to do absolutely everything in that game. And that means as I progress through the story, I do all the side quests, everything in parallel to the main story before I progress it any further.
So, Cap, how long was your Witcher playthrough then, mate, just before you jump in?
Disgusting. I have no idea. It was fucking ridiculous. I think in the end, I kind of just quickly finished that game because I got to the point where I was like, I need to know what happens. But dude, I don't know what my current hour count in Elden Ring is, but I believe it's probably going to be pushing 50 hours now. And I have I've explored two big areas, and I know there's more big areas. And so to give you a better idea is I'm just going to put a rough number out because I don't know how many main bosses there are. I'd say there's probably about 9 or 10. I've killed 3.
Okay. I've killed 1.
And
how many hours you got? 40, 50 hours or something, dude. 40 hours.
But to put this into perspective.
That's a week of work right there.
I am exploring every fucking nook and cranny. I know a lot of people that are playing it that are just going mostly through the main storyline and stopping off here and there. So I'm not really playing it like that. Unfortunately for me, my OCD doesn't allow me to fucking play like a normal fucking human being and just enjoy the game for what it is. I have to do absolutely every scary.
Can I tell you something quite funny, Cap?
Yes, you may.
This isn't spoilers for you, but this might be spoilers for other people. So if you're in Elden Ring spoilers, close your ears. I didn't know there was invisible walls until like yesterday.
What, really?
Yeah, no idea. So I have not been doing my standard roll into the walls looking for fucking invisible walls, mate. So I'm gonna have to go back to like a bunch of areas and look.
To be honest, to make you feel better, it took me a very long time to find an invisible wall, and I was checking for invisible walls.
Okay, all right.
So
I don't feel so bad.
They're not littered everywhere, and they're generally fairly obvious. Okay. So yeah, look, I don't want to get too in depth with spoiler territory with that kind of stuff, but have you noticed any bugs or anything, Grizz?
Dude, no bugs. Not well. Sorry, that's a lie. I've had one bug where I can't remember. I was on an edge where I definitely wasn't going to fall off, and then I just kind of like glitched me off the edge and I died.
That's weird.
But nothing, dude, nothing apart from a couple of little, like, FPS drops. But, what about you, mate? Anything from your side?
Nothing major. I did see my friends sent me a video of them on the horse, and then they opened the map, and then they all of a sudden were, like, holding the reins kind of as if they were on the horse, but the horse had disappeared. And
that's
it was
a
like,
PC that thing, fuck? Isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, this guy's playing on PS5.
Really? I've heard of the disappearing horse on PC, and I've also heard of disappearing NPCs on PC.
Right. Well, what had happened with this is it looked like he was kind of holding the horse, but kind of like juddering as if he was about to fall, and then all of a sudden he just went, and then died.
This isn't glitches really, but I do notice that some of the, like, for example, the dragons, like, collision with the environment is pretty fucking like interesting.
Yeah. I've fought a few dragons, and a couple of them basically reset halfway through the battle, which was fucking annoying. So which also led to a health bar reset, and I'm just like, well, I guess I'm gonna have to just go and sleep at the fucking grace site again.
And I don't know how you're tackling these guys, but I'm literally just running around on my horse slapping ankles
slapping ankles,
yeah.
Which seems to be, dude, the horse combat is OP a lot of the time. So sometimes
I'm sure you have because you're exploring everywhere, but I found a trinket that does more damage from your horse. And got him. It's pretty good.
Got it.
And I'm a katana bitch too. And I don't know if you have played with a katana on a horse, but if you hold your R down, he literally drags the katana along the floor. It looks so badass. And then when you release it, he does a big swipe up. So you can like really
rad.
Yeah, it's so cool, man. It's so
does it do
cool.
extra damage with that?
I don't know, but it just allows you to delay your attack a bit and kind of like drag it along before you.
Now, what class did you start off with?
I started with the guy who had the highest dex, who was the
thief or something.
The dude with the two swords. He's got two short swords or something. It's not the thief class. It's the other one. Yep.
Assassin. Is that one?
I think it's the assassin.
I don't actually know the actual names of things. I'm just kind of making things up, but I assume it's some kind of roguey kind of class.
Dexterity, bitch. Yep, that's me.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of people in the forums and stuff are saying that the Yoshi Katana is broken.
Yeah. Well, I found, I don't want to spoil, but I found one that's like a dex int, and it's fucking ridiculous, dude.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous. Yeah. Now, Cap, have you seen any? Have you got any memes or anything fucking hilarious?
Dude, I saw this one today that it was basically Walter White in The Lands Between, and it was just the fucking funniest shit I've ever seen. I'm gonna chuck it in the Twitch chat, but I mean, it's kind of difficult because it's not really voiced much, so we can't really play it over the podcast or anything. So if people want to go and watch it, here's the link in the Twitch chat. If you're listening at home, just go and Google Walter White, Elden Ring, and it's comedy gold, especially being a, you know, playing so much Elden Ring recently. It's just so funny. He's like, it's like, you know, when you walk out and the guy tells you that you're maidenless, Walter White's like crying on the ground. It's so funny, dude. So funny. But what about you, mate? Have you seen anything in particular?
A couple. And I can share one. Yeah. I mean, one of them is the, and I think I sent it to you in the Facebook today, but it's essentially if Ubisoft made Elden Ring and it's a picture of the UI, what it would look like. And it's it's just like
littered with shit
everywhere, like your daily quest and your fucking quest log and go talk to the meter. It's just
to buy Elden Bucks.
What was that game that we played, Cap, that was before this and we reviewed it on the podcast that was like Diablo?
Lost Ark.
It was like Lost Ark, man. It looks like fucking Lost Ark overview on it. It's hilarious. So there's that one, man. And there's another one that I saw today on my Twitter, actually, and it was you would have seen the meme with the guy who's got that bit of black plastic and there's a big tub of water and water's leaking out of it and he slaps the plastic on it. So it's like, so it's a picture of that with the guy that says me, and then on the tank with the water spilling out, it's got problems, anxiety, good night's sleep, healthy sex life, switched on at work, and then the black plastic is Elden Ring and he's just fucking like, clever.
Yeah, that about covers my life at the moment.
Another one that I wanted to quickly say, there was a legitimate post on Relationship Reddit that a chick had posted on there who went on a date with their boyfriend, and when they got home, the date went really well, and he went and sat down and started playing Elden Ring, and she thought they were going to get it on, but she didn't say it was Elden Ring. She was like, he sat down at his computer and started playing video games, like, you know, how do I deal with this? And someone commented saying, oh, out of curiosity, what game was it? And she was like, Elden Ring. And the fucking Elden Ring community just grabbed it after that, you know?
Oh, man, I love it. I actually think my favorite one I've read so far, which is kind of just a meme article, is I think Iron Pineapple, who's a Dark Souls content creator, posted a tweet saying, no one really knows this, but a little fun fact about Elden Ring is that George R.R. Martin wrote every single little message in the game. Just like so funny. Try finger, butthole. Signed George R.R. Martin. I think Grizzly, give me a quick rundown of what your build looks like at the moment and what kind of stats you're looking at. Right. I think we'll wrap it up once I get mine as well.
Whenever I play a Dark Souls game, I always do my first playthrough as Dex, and I have a lot of people come in and say, fucking Dex noobs, and give me a hard time because I feel like there is a big community of the strength guys that are around.
Dude, absolutely. And there's a lot of memes about, like, you know, Dex user versus average strength user. It's like that classic, like, Chad meme.
Yeah. And I just want to say this, that firstly, fuck you, strength guys. And secondly,
hey, how dare you?
The speedrunners that speedrun use the cell swords, which are dex. So they're clearly better, right? Clearly a better implement. No, but I'm just memeing. But anyway, yes, I'm using a dex, but then I found this int weapon and I was already using a katana and I was like, well, I really want to use this. So I've now pumped a heap of my stats into int. So I'm a dex int build now, essentially. And I've started learning some sorceries and messing around. And, dude, sorceries are so much fun for a number of reasons.
This game has really gone to town on the summoning and sorcery aspect of the game.
Hmm. They have. Done very well.
There's just so many spells. It's unbelievable.
Oh, dude, and not only spells, but like schools of spells. So without spoiling it, but I found like a bunch of different schools I didn't even know existed that required different attributes for me to use them. And I was kind of like, wow, it'd be great to go do a playthrough and use that specific school of spells next time because I didn't know they existed when I started. And I think that's quite cool too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've gone a fairly classic quality strength build, I guess, where I've put a lot of points into endurance because I want to wear some heavy armor and still be able to medium roll, basically. Just pumped heaps of stats into strength. I have fuck all vigor, so my health bar is like pathetic, but I'm still having a blast, and I pumped a little bit of stuff into faith because I found some cool spells to use with that kind of scale with strength with some stuff that I found. I won't go too much into that because it's kind of spoiler territory. But
have you found the trinkets that boost your equip load? Any?
I have, but I don't need them.
Don't need them.
I've got like 30 fucking endurance, mate. 30 endurance or 40 strength.
Because I haven't been watching a heap of Elden Ring, but I'm curious to know how your standard fight plays out. Are you board and shield, or do you dual hand your weapon? You do.
Yeah, okay. So it depends on the fight. Most fights, I use my turtle shield, which is hilarious because it has a Ash of War on it, which is like a special skill you can use. And it basically like strengthens the shield, and it has like a white glow on it. And then like a lot of enemies, like when they attack you into your shield, instead of kind of like hitting through and then following up with another attack, they'll kind of like hit it and then bounce off and recoil. And it's just so fucking easy mode sometimes. And so some bosses also have the recoil animation. So it's been ridiculous. Some bosses have just been like bonk, 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 bonk. So, that's been really good. But yeah, I've kind of just been playing it like that with, I've got this sword, it's just like a long sword and a shield. And I've also got a halberd, which seems to just annihilate a lot of those like NPC invaders that pop up in your playthrough because they just can't do anything against the range for some reason. They just like, just can't get near you. And I'm just like,
I feel like magic really is also good for those guys, which is my God, my sorcery spells are quite decent as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, look, Grizz, I think that'll have to be it for us. We've hit our time limit. Guys, thank you so much for listening tonight. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, guys. In Twitch chat, thank you for hanging out and talking shizness with us and helping us do some on-the-fly research. You can find us on Twitter by looking up Oceanic Gaming Radio. You can also find us on, I believe, Facebook and on Twitch using the same search. Just look up Oceanic Gaming Radio, one word. You can find us on all your favorite podcast distribution platforms, including Spotify and all your other classic ones like Apple Music, etc. We'd appreciate it if you go and follow us on our social media platforms. You can check out when we're going to be live, and we'll be giving you obviously updates on when you can expect us to be live. We tend to record, well, at least we're going to be trying to record every Monday night. So that's AWST. Expect us to go live around about 7 o'clock. We were a bit early tonight because today's a public holiday here in Perth, so we decided to get on early. But for the most part, that's where you can catch us. Expect the podcast to go live in the next couple of days, hopefully. Grizzo, you got anything to say, mate?
All good from me. I guess we'll, if you do watch on Twitch, you have the opportunity to have a quick little banter with us at the end of each episode. So tune into that. And also, we do have a Patreon as well. First supporter on our Patreon, I will drive to your house and high five you.
Wow.
Oh, also, quickly before we end, we have reached 200 views across our podcast. So I just want to thank everyone if you have given a listen. But that is quite a big milestone for us, considering we're in very early doors. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, nice. Is that across all of our episodes on
That's across our episodes, yep.
Oh, dude, that's really rad. Hell yeah. Let's freaking go. Hell yeah,
baby.
Guys, as always, thank you so much. Pav, you freaking legend. We love you, baby. Thanks for being in the flanks, as always, and editing and just being a legend.
Love you guys.
We love you. And we'll see you guys next time on the Oceanic Gaming Radio Podcast.
Bye for now.